Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And here we are again. It is a routine that I love. I hope you love it too. We come together, we complain, we commiserate, we offer some communication therapy, we talk about sports. We do talk about sports, even though I still have people asking me after 4+ months, what are you talking about on the radio? Now, if I could stick to entirely sports, I absolutely would. But that's just not possible right now. Plus, I'm not really that kind of girl. And so, yes, we talk about sports. We also mix in food and entertainment. And we like to throw some crazy questions out there. We try peanut butter burgers. Yeah, we just kind of talk about whatever, really. And yet, you still show up, which is cool. I don't know how many of you were affected by the Twitter hacking fallout on Wednesday. Of all the things that Twitter should be censoring, it chose to go with blue check marks. So again, I don't know how many of you were affected by this or how many of you noticed it, but for a while, Twitter was, it was quiet, at least on my feed, because the majority of people that I follow are analysts, insiders, athletes, reporters. It's a work thing, obviously. And my news feed was almost non-existent. There was nothing moving on it. It was kind of funny. For a while, it was the inmates running the asylum on Twitter. So anybody who didn't have a blue check mark was out there tweeting like a fool, because you had the whole news feed to yourself. You had the information superhighway filtered through Twitter all to yourself. So it was hysterical how many times I tried to tweet before I figured out that it wasn't just happening to me. I thought it was something wrong with my phone. Then my computer locked me out of Twitter. This is my laptop at home. Oh my gosh, I was fit to be tied. That's something my mom says. I don't even know what it means. And so it was quite dramatic. I don't know exactly why Twitter did that, only that there were some high-profile accounts that were hacked over Bitcoin, and apparently their way of fixing it on the Twitter sphere was to lock up all the people who had blue check marks. So for a while there, the rank and file were rising up on Twitter. If you have 7 followers, you were all the rage. I mean, I'm more than willing to give you my followers. I can't give you my blue check mark, but you can have the followers if you like. So it was an interesting Wednesday. It was an interesting hump day. I hope you survived without too many bumps and bruises. I actually, for the first time in 6 weeks, went running. So you all know I've been moving. And that was kind of my exercise. I'd be so tired with the packing and the up and down the stairs and the moving boxes that I, for a while, wasn't doing any actual cardio. And then, I was doing yoga, but that was it around the packing and the moving. And then I started biking. So I got back into some cardio with biking. Again, still doing some yoga, but I hadn't run. I kept procrastinating, thinking it was going to be awful because it had been so long. I hadn't actually run in 6 weeks. So I decided I was going to go out this evening and I was going to run. And initially I was thinking, all right, I'll do 30 minutes. I'll die. I'll get it over with. And then it'll be better the next time. But then I get all stubborn. So the stubborn that you hear on the radio, I'm stubborn in my personal life as well. And I decided, nah, I'm just going to keep going. I wasn't going fast. That's for sure. I wasn't moving. I only had one gear. That was slow. But I decided I wasn't going to stop until I'd done an hour. And so that's where I was when I stopped running 6 weeks ago. So I did it. I went the full hour. That last hill, oh my gosh, it nearly broke me in half. And I am going to be extremely sore when I get out of this chair, every time I get out of this chair, and probably for the next 2 days. But it was a minor victory for me to actually get out there and stop procrastinating and get back to running. So I hope you had a breakthrough or a victory or a triumph in your life on this Wednesday, because we need those, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I am not like the guy who wrote to us last night and said that he had done a half marathon on a track. So virtually had done a half marathon in the last 4 months. He ran, I think he said 63 laps. 63 laps. Oh my gosh. I am training for a half marathon when eventually we're allowed to run them again, which is why I'm running the way I am. But oh my, I can't imagine running that many laps on a track. Sometimes I get bored after four, which is, about a mile. Sometimes I get bored after fewer than that. So I'm not quite as hardcore as that guy, but at least I didn't stop. That's always my goal. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't stop. Just keep swimming. Or just keep running, just keep moving, one foot in front of the other. It seems applicable, does it not? We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Wait till I tell you who I saw on Wednesday. Kind of a fun little meeting, a fun little engagement. Well, it wasn't really an engagement. I can't really say that. It was just a fun little conversation that I stumbled across. So that was cool, but I'll save that. Let's see. We have a lot of NFL news to get to on this Wednesday night. And we're going to do a little bit of an analysis with Howard Balzer when he joins us coming up in 30 minutes. So he's going to join us live, which is cool. So that way we're up to the minute. We're up to date. We've got all the info that we need. And I think on the heels of our conversation with former agent and salary cap expert Joel Corey on our last show, Howard will be great. And we've passed that deadline now for franchise tags. And so we got both ends of the spectrum, right? We got Derrick Henry with a contract that I think is extremely reasonable. I'm actually really impressed, not only that they got it done at the final hour, but that Derrick Henry didn't need to be the highest paid running back in the NFL. There is something to be said. Now, I don't begrudge anyone who goes after every last dollar they can milk from their employee. I don't begrudge athletes that. They have a talent. They also have a limited window in which they can earn this kind of money. And for running backs, we all know it's extremely tight. The pounding on your body, the miles in your legs, they catch up with you as a running back. There are very few Adrian Petersons out there. And let's be honest, he's had a few seasons where he's missed a bunch of time because of injury or other things. So it's not as though he's been out there every single year taking the pounding that he's done in those seasons where he's played 16 games or close to it. It's a tight little narrow window for running backs in the NFL. And even when they're still productive, teams tend to back way off. They tend to err on the side of extreme caution when it comes to running backs, even when they're productive, because it happens so fast, that point of no return. And once it happens, it's not with every back. Some guys manage to stay healthy and productive, even if they're not a feature back. Frank Gore, great example. There are guys who continue to work in a backfield where they're not the number one guy, don't have to be the number one guy, but can serve as an option. And they don't necessarily need to be paid top dollar. They're just excited to be out there and to be part of a team. But when we're talking about feature backs that are taking a lot of pounding, the guy who gets handed the ball routinely, I mean, he's the number one option, and that certainly applies to a Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott. It did apply to Le'Veon Bell, and we know how that worked out. It did apply to Todd Gurley. My point is that every single one of these guys who has the pounding on their bodies, at some point, most of them drop off a cliff. And I don't mean they don't want to keep running. I don't mean that they are not worth keeping on a roster anymore, only that there comes a very typically drastic moment where they're just not able to take as much pounding, to carry the ball as much, to do as much work. It's physically impossible anymore. And if you kept pushing them, they would get injured and it would get even worse. And so you see it. You know it when you see it. It's the reason why the Rams were willing to let Todd Gurley walk. Now, the Falcons are counting on him being healthy and being productive. Are they expecting him to be the only guy handling the ball? Heck no. The Falcons are not a run-first offense. When it comes to Derrick Henry, they are very much a run-first, ground-and-pound, in-your-face, smash-mouth offense. That's how they got all the way to the AFC Championship. That's how they dominate when it comes to ball control. That's their style, ball control. As in, if we control it, you don't have it. As in, if we dominate time of possession, well, that's less time that Patrick Mahomes has the ball in his hands. And so that's the offense that they have settled on, and it works when you have a back like Henry, who in fact can take the pounding, can push through. He's a bruising back, only 26 years old. And so right now it works perfectly. Will it work all the way through the 4 years of this new deal? I don't know. 30, if he gets to the end of this deal at 30 years old, that's actually, I would say, outliving what is typically the prime and the usefulness of a feature back's career. It's just the nature of the beast. And so I'm happy for Derrick Henry that he got this money, and it includes half the contract that's fully guaranteed. So $25.5 million completely guaranteed. I hope he's still productive into that 30-year-old season. And I hope he plays through all 4 years. $12.5 million per year. He's only, quote unquote, the NFL's fifth highest paid running back. Now, I don't know the details of the contract negotiations, only that it took until the very last day for them to find an agreement. Henry signed the Titans. I'm glad they did. I think the Titans are on the rise, on the way up. They wanted to keep Ryan Tannehill. They wanted to keep that group, that brain trust intact. And they certainly surprised a lot of people last year. No need to change what's working. So good for them that they were able to get this business done before the deadline. 4 years, $50 million is the report. Half of that fully guaranteed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sometimes, in fact, there are more important factors than being the highest paid at your position. And let's be honest, if Derrick Henry wanted to, he could absolutely have pointed to, I almost want to yell scoreboard, he absolutely could have pointed to the 2019 season that was historic for him. In fact, historic in a lot of ways, not just for him. 1,540 rushing yards, 16 rushing TDs, nearly 1,800 total yards from the line of scrimmage. And then you think about the playoffs. Again, the surprise, getting to the AFC Championship, knocking off the one seed on the road and
playoffs,
essentially beating the Ravens at their own game. But then to go into Arrowhead Stadium, gosh, to have the lead in the fourth quarter. I know it didn't quite work out, but I think this is cool. And I look forward to seeing what the Titans do in 2020. Because I'm going with, yeah, we're going to have a season in 2020. So it was historic for Derrick Henry. He and his representation could have said, yo, scoreboard. They could have said, this is my time to capitalize. I was the best back in the NFL last year. I deserve to be paid like the best back in the NFL. But there are sometimes factors more important than being the highest paid. So congratulations to Derek. Looking forward to talking to Howard Balzer about this contract and about the Titans overall. And then opposite end of the spectrum, we do not have a deal for Dak Prescott. I don't think this was a huge surprise, but come to find out, there was a late push. There were some last-minute negotiations. NFL.com's Jane Slater reported it, and so did Patrick Walker, CBS Sports HQ.
The expectation from all sides had always been that a deal would get done, even if it went down to the buzzer, so to speak. But as the deadline approached, it was basically a silent stare down as the Cowboys stood firm on 5 years on their latest offer, which would have been $35 million a year as an average annual pay, $106 million guaranteed, but willing to go upwards of $110 million or more if they could get Dak Prescott to agree to a fifth year. But Prescott and representation Todd France were simply not going to do that. They were dug in at 4 years. So while the two sides did make compromises in the length of the negotiation of the contract over the past few months, when it came to this week, it was basically a silent stare down. I'm told that the Cowboys did actually reach out to Todd France and Dak Prescott an hour or so ahead of the NFL deadline, hoping to convince them to take that five-year deal that they put on the table. But as it stands, obviously, France and Prescott, they wanted the 4 years, and they were not going to come off of that.
We had just talked to Joel Corey about this, the 4 years versus the 5 years. Why is it so important? What's the big deal? If you missed that, good stuff with him. You can find that on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. Clearly, if you are a quarterback or any professional athlete in the prime of your career, it behooves you to get a shorter deal so that then you can turn around 1 year earlier if you actually get to the final year of that deal. So in the NFL, nothing's guaranteed except the guaranteed money. If you actually get to that final year of your deal, you can turn around and you can either capitalize and get another new deal with more guaranteed money. And seriously, think about the quarterback situation where it's usually the next guy up gets the fattest deal. The next guy up makes history. Dak Prescott wanted to be in that situation a year earlier, not like a situation with Patrick Mahomes where he's now locked up if the Chiefs choose to keep him for the next 12 seasons. That's not what most athletes want. And so they could not, despite all the compromising on other more minor details, like, you know, the guaranteed money, the $110 million, they could not agree, and neither side would budge in the 4 to 5 years. And so he's actually a bit of a bargain because he's only making $31.5 million in 2020. After all this, won't it be a disappointment if we don't get to see a full 16 freaking games with Dak Prescott at quarterback? I can't wait to see what happens. All right, coming up, we had a sporting event with fans on Wednesday night, and I don't know if it's going to be the norm, probably not, but I thought it was so cool to hear a crowd. It was awesome. So you'll hear it a little bit. It was the NASCAR All-Star Race, largest crowd of any sporting event over the last 4 months. In fact, really, going back to the days before the NBA and the NHL shut down. We haven't seen it since then. You'll hear it for yourself.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Derrick Henry was a beast at the end of the regular season into the playoffs. Do you guys remember the games that he played? And we could even go backwards. So the AFC Championship, That was not one where he was over 100 yards. He did have a touchdown. But the AFC Championship was a different animal. It was at Arrowhead, and eventually Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs got their groove back. But before that, at Baltimore, 195 rushing yards on 30 carries. The week before that, on the road at the Patriots, and that's where Mike Tirico's call on Westwood One comes from, 182 yards on 34 carries plus a touchdown. And then the end of the regular season on the road. This was when the Titans made the playoffs and earned the number 6 seed at the Texans. 211 yards on 32 carries and 3 touchdowns. Derrick Henry's picture is next to feature back in the dictionary. That's exactly what we're talking about. Maybe he's the miracle child, miracle man child, and he could continue to have that many carries with that much activity, that much pounding until he's 30, but it doesn't typically happen. Now, it's fine if you've got someone else can share the load. But of course, the Titans want to ride Derrick Henry as long as they possibly can. Right now, he's their golden goose. Yeah, Ryan Tannehill was efficient and he had a high completion percentage. And when they took over, his leadership was evident. Took over for Marcus Mariota. But they don't go anywhere without Derrick Henry driving the bus. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll get the latest on Dak Prescott and also what we know and don't know about the NFL and NFLPA negotiations over training camps and over health and safety protocols. Time is of the essence. I would be stunned, and I don't have any inside information. We'll talk to Howard Balzer coming up following this update. But I'd be stunned if they started training camps on time. Not only do I not think it's necessary, you're going to have at least a shortened preseason schedule, if you have any preseason schedule at all. So I don't think it's necessary. But you're not evaluating nearly as many undrafted rookies as you would have in the past. Now you haven't seen your rookies in person, so therein is a bit of a challenge, but I wouldn't be surprised if they actually pushed the start of training camps. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. For those of you who asked Amy anything on Facebook, I did go back and answer some of the questions during the day on Wednesday. You continue to ask me, will we see sports in 2020? Hello, there are actually some sports that are operating. Do you know UFC is still going great guns? And Dana White, who gambled on Fight Island, to the resistance of actually some of those inside the UFC community, it's working out like nobody's business. They're getting huge ratings. The gambling money on UFC right now is through the roof. And so, once again, Dana White making this smart business decision that has definitely benefited the sport and him personally, let's be honest. And so, many of you keep asking me, will there be sports? I think mostly you're referring to the Big Four in 2020. And the other question I get all the time, will we see fans at sporting events the rest of this year? Now, I don't know about the rest of this year. I would tend to say probably those events with fans are going to be in the minority, but it was pretty darn cool to see. I think the numbers were about 20,000. Bristol, Tennessee was willing to welcome in 30,000 fans, but no more than that. And they didn't have that many. You could see them. They were dotting the stands under the lights at Bristol for the All-Star race in NASCAR. But it was pretty cool when Chase Elliott got out of the car after winning the race on Fox Sports just to hear the fans behind him.
1,111,000 for Chase Elliott.
Mike, you can hear the cheers from the fans, and it's in the family DNA. $1 million. What's it mean to win this event, this night at this track?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. What a better night to have fans back than tonight. I mean, y'all are awesome. there's nothing like Bristol. There's nothing like the lights here. There's nothing like racing here. Never won here. What a race to do it. Just really proud of our team tonight. And rebounding. We've had a really tough couple weeks. And just felt like we had kind of gotten off base and felt like I was struggling. And just tried to hit the reset button this week and came out and put on a great performance, great car. Just can't thank all our partners, everybody that makes this happen enough. And all those number 9 hats and t-shirts up in the stands. Love to see it.
What's it mean to you, though, to hear those fans and see them here tonight?
I couldn't hear you, but what did you say?
I said, what's it mean to you to hear and see those fans here tonight?
There's no feeling like it. And nothing like it. This speaks for itself. And like I said, Bristol is an electric atmosphere that is unlike any other that we go to. So couldn't be more excited. We're going to celebrate this one for sure. And we'll take that $1 million back to Georgia. Why don't we?
I know there are fireworks in the background, which add to the din, but I just got chills hearing the fans. Chase Elliott couldn't even hear the question on Fox Sports. That's how loud it was. And that was so cool. And so they didn't sell the 30,000 tickets. Crowd estimates are about 20,000 fans that were all spread out. But it was super cool because Bristol's a short track and just the atmosphere in general. It was awesome to be able to hear the fans. Now, there likely won't be many more events, at least on the NASCAR circuit, maybe not golf. We don't know about football in the fall. We're not likely to see them in many of the baseball games, if at all. And so I enjoyed seeing and hearing it. It was pretty darn cool. And they kept their distance, so you can definitely check out the photos if you want to see them. There was an Indy event that was last weekend, I believe. It was in Wisconsin, and they didn't limit the number of tickets sold. It was a road course. They estimated they had around 10,000 people kind of spread out around the road course. But at Bristol, it was double that is what they think. And it was loud, and it was great to hear. I missed them. I missed you fans making obnoxious noise in the stands. All right, coming up, we'll check in with Howard Balzer. The franchise tag deadline has come and gone. And what about these negotiations between the owners and the players to try to get football off the ground in 2020?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Brad Sham, unmistakable Cowboys radio network. And I don't know if it's a surprise or not, considering the stalemate, but there was no new deal for Dak Prescott in advance of the franchise tag deadline. And that was the big flurry of activity. The last couple of days, we saw guys like Chris Jones, guys like Derrick Henry, guys like Myles Garrett get new deals, but others like Dak Prescott will play on that franchise tender. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome our longtime friend and NFL reporter, Howard Balzer, who's now with SI. And Howard, you know, sometimes we hear and we see that not coming to a deal before a franchise tag deadline or a player that it's actually playing on a franchise tender, that can damage the relationship between a team and an athlete. What do you make of the two sides, Cowboys and Dak, not able to come to common ground?
It's great to be with you, Amy. Yeah, it's a great question to ask because you're right. A lot of times there can be damage. There can be players not coming to camp until they sign the tender, and many of them wait and hold out. Not really hold out because they can't sign a new contract, but they just stage a not coming until late in training camp. And so I don't think Dak Prescott will do that. We never know, but it can be a difficult thing. But basically, I think this comes down to Dak Prescott betting on himself, and we don't know exactly what he was wanting in a long-term contract. There's been reports that the Cowboys offered between $34 and $35 million a year on average, but Prescott looks at that and knows that if they franchise him next year, then he would be averaging about 35 34 or 35 for 2 years in these first 2 years, and then the Cowboys would have a decision make the year after that whether to make him a free, let him be a free agent, or pay him crazy money. And so I think he's betting basically on himself and seeing what happens in this next season. And who knows, maybe the Cowboys don't franchise him next year and he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So he obviously is under a lot of pressure to have a good year. And that's going to be key for him in terms of whether he can get that long-term contract from the Cowboys or any other team in the future. But I don't know that it'll damage a relationship because, hey, you have to be a pro about it and just go out and play the best of your ability.
Mm. And he certainly does handle himself as a pro, for sure. Here's another question in this unpredictable environment that we're in with sports, really everything, but right now talking about sports and football and not exactly knowing how this is going to play out. If we get a season, how long the season is, what does it look like? What does it mean financially? Would you think it's smarter for athletes to get these deals done now or to leave themselves open with flexibility, say, a year or 2 years down the road?
That's, you know, it's another great question. I think that certainly every situation is different when it comes to quarterbacks. They're certainly separated, you know, from others. I think if you can get the money now, that's the best way of going about it. Because, like you said, who knows what the cap is going to look like next year? Who knows what's going to happen with everything in our country? And we saw a lot of situations where players did not get the long-term contracts and teams being a little conservative in terms of what they were committing to for the future. And when you're a quarterback and you see, you know, contracts being signed all over the place, you figure, well, I'm not going to sign until I get what I think is the right market. And there always will be a big market, you would think, for quality quarterbacks. So, but I think there's no doubt that a certain amount of uncertainty was a part of all this. And from the Cowboys' standpoint, they were probably looking at as much as they wanted to get him signed long term. They just did not want to commit to something. Let's say Dak Prescott's side was looking for something close to $40 million a year. Well, the Cowboys weren't prepared to do that, and perhaps they want to see another year from him of quality play before they would even consider something like that. So that's, you know, those are some of the insider stuff we don't really know with deals. But you know, I think that certainly. Players betting on themselves. We've seen it before. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Right, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it certainly looks like that's what Prescott was doing. But like I said, I think when it comes to quarterbacks, that's always, in a sense, separate from a lot of other players and whatever positions they're at.
Howard Balzer is covering the Cardinals now for SI.com and been around the NFL for a long time. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get back to the current day, I was just looking at your Twitter a little while ago, paging down until I saw this. Continuing the purge of my basement, went through the carry bags that were given out at the Super Bowl, have 13 of them going back to Super Bowl 22. That's amazing. That's some cool history, Howard.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing some of the stuff that I came across, and I haven't even mentioned all the seat cushions they had from Super Bowls. I had even more than 13 of those, and so I'm a hoarder. What can I say? And it's funny, I was talking about it on a local show, radio show that I do in St. Louis, and they said we need to start having a segment of what's in Howard's basement. But yeah, it's pretty incredible. Some of the stuff with the years that I've been doing it, 30, 40 years of things that I just would always refuse to get rid of or throw away and do something with. And now it's just organizing it. And I came across some stuff I even forgot that I had.
So what are you doing with all this Super Bowl memorabilia?
Good question. You know, good question. I was talking to my son, and he said, well, the bags, I'm not sure what to do with it. I did get some responses on Twitter saying, hey, I'd love to have Super Bowl 28, or I'd like to have this one. And so I haven't decided what I'm going to do with them, quite honestly, but you know, we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening.
Well, it's so cool to talk to you now as the Cardinals, I feel like, are poised to make this leap forward. Certainly the DeAndre Hopkins move was massive for them to have him on the field in the huddle with a young quarterback like Kyler Murray, but also to add another weapon. Whereas so often last year, Larry Fitzgerald was the target for Kyler. And we saw such maturity and growth in him even in the first year. But how much do you think it will benefit having another guy like DeAndre who can stretch the field, but also who brings that veteran wisdom with them to the huddle?
Yeah, it should have a tremendous impact. Now, the one caveat we have to say with all these teams is without the off-season program and all those things, then you wonder how quick it's going to be for teams that have added new players or the teams that have new quarterbacks, new offensive coordinators, new head coaches. How's it going to look this year? That's the one thing we don't know. But you can't look at it only in the prism of this year. You have to look at it going forward. And so this is something that when you look at what the Cardinals have put together, like you said, with having Kenyon Drake for a full season and an offensive line that has most of its guys back and looks pretty solid, maybe not great, but pretty solid, adding to the defense. And now being in the second year of the system with Cliff Kingsbury. And this was a team that both offensively and defensively was showing some progress at the end of last season. So they believe that they can maybe not pick, basically pick up where they left off and continue that ascent. Now they're in a tough division, certainly.
Sure.
But when you have those weapons on offense, that's pretty impressive. And when you pick up, I mean, it's arguable, who's the best receiver in the NFL. It doesn't matter who's the best. But I've always remembered, Amy, the great comment going way back that Bum Phillips was once asked about the coach of the Houston Oilers when he had Earl Campbell. And someone asked him, hey, is he the best running back in the league? Is he the best you've ever seen? And Bum, in his Texas drawl, said, well, I don't know if he's the best, but he's among them. And that's certainly true with Hopkins. He's in that best group.
Sure.
And so when you have a guy like that who can get down the field, and the one thing about Murray is his ability, his accuracy with downfield throws, that's going to open up that offense tremendously. And this team should be very improved. How many wins it means, who knows? But I think they're definitely going in the right direction.
I loved their fight. Every game in the NFC West last year was a fight. There were very few games in which the Cardinals were steamrolled and didn't show that ability to try to come back or at least to use smart football to stay in a game. Howard Balzer with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So just have about 3 minutes here. I want to throw two more questions out at you. Number one, what are the priorities for Kyler Murray in year number two? What are they looking for?
Well, certainly the continued progress. You have to cut down on some of the mistakes, but he was doing that at the end of the season and being smart with the football. I think he was smart running it, which is very important when you have the ability like him to gain yards with his legs. And so again, you just want to see that continued good decision making and continued progress. And I think overall for the offense, I came across one stat that's pretty remarkable, is that their field goal kicker, Zane Gonzalez, he had 12 field goals that were under 30 yards.
Whoa.
Well, think of that. Just think what the line of scrimmage was for those plays. That led to, they weren't very good in the red zone scoring touchdowns. Well, now with Murray, with Hopkins, with Drake the whole year, you start scoring touchdowns instead of those field goals when you're deep in the red zone, and all of a sudden close losses turn into close wins. And so that's a big thing, not only for Murray, but for that entire offense. And they can improve that, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, and I'm not kidding, 60 seconds, but you're a pro, you know this.
Okay.
What makes sense to you for training camps for preseason in the atmosphere we're in right now?
I like what the players are pushing for. I think games, you'd like to have games certainly to evaluate some of the younger players, but they need an acclimation period, a relatively long one, to see what shape players are in and not just hit the ground running. And so have that, maybe you have a game or two at the most, but I just think they have to be as close to a bubble as possible during camp and hope you don't have positive tests. and but have that initial period of strength and conditioning because the players haven't had it. You know, everyone compares it real quickly, Andy, to the lockout year when, you know, when players came in and injuries were up. And that year, players at least could go to the gyms and work out during the off season. They couldn't do that this year. And so you really have to get these players make sure they're in physical shape before they start trying to get into football shape. So I think that long period is very important before they get into the games and the regular season.
You can find Howard on Twitter at HBalzer721, and he is now with SI.com covering the Cardinals. Really good stuff, and look forward to talking about them again this season because I expect them to be a team on the rise. Thank you so much, Howard. Great to talk to you. Be safe.
Same to you, Amy. Great being with you. Take care.
I feel like Howard has covered pretty much every aspect and every division and every angle of football in his time with the league. But seriously, if you look at his Twitter, he talks about the stuff he found in his basement from Super Bowls and the memorabilia. I know when I went in Atlanta, they were handing out earbuds, and that was my memorabilia, and I gave them to producer Chris because I don't like them. That's all I got.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.